Firstly, hominids were bipedal, a posture that was far more effective carrying meat and objects, like artifacts. Secondly, they were adapted to open savanna living, where they had to organize themselves to cover far larger territories. As time went on, our remote ancestors became more and more dependent on technology. So the casual, opportunistic artifacts, the choppers and flakes of the first humans, like Homo habilis, became far more sophisticated, standardized artifacts after a million years ago. Thirdly, the larger brain of Homo habilis allowed for a much greater social intelligence, which allowed our ancestors to cope with a number of things. The complexities of living in larger groups, in close juxtaposition to one another. And remember that this theme is going to come back again and again in this course. It's the problems of social interaction, of living in small groups, then of living in settled villages, even of large cities, which is going to be one constant litany in this course, that our social abilities are terribly, terribly important to understanding the past. In fact, I would go so far as to say that the future course of human evolution may well have been a consequence of the fact that our early ancestors had to be more and more socially adept. And we will see in the next lecture just how important this adeptness was. In this lecture, though, we've described the three hominid forms known to have flourished in East Africa after 3 million years ago. We once again made the point that hominid populations were much more diverse than one might suspect at this time. Then we describe the earliest known human, Homo habilis, a member of the genus Homo, with a thin skull, higher forehead, larger brain capacity, and perhaps the ability to make stone tools. This made a large chasm between Homo habilis and the Australopithecines. We looked very briefly at the archaeological evidence for tool making, the controversy about living floors, which in fact probably weren't living floors at all, but were just places where people went, perhaps habitually, to butcher and cut up the meat they had scavenged from kills. They may have only been there an hour or less, chased away by predators or simply on the move to minimize the risk of becoming lunch themselves. We looked also at the earliest technology in the world, a technology of choppers and flakes, which needed a remarkable familiarity with stone and was in its simplicity not only the ancestors of much more advanced technologies, but highly effective in the world in which it was used, so much so that it flourished for a long, long period. And finally, we looked at the behavior and social organization of the early hominids. We concluded they were more ape-like, but probably were more socially adept. They did not have fully articulate speech, but their abilities of communication by grunting and by gesturing were probably more advanced than those of the other hominids. They had to be. Why? Simply because they had to be socially adept, and they were living in the open. 2 million years ago, the few humans on Earth lived in tropical Africa south of the Sahara Desert. Africa was the cradle of humankind, as Darwin pointed out as long ago as 1871. There was little at the time to distinguish them from the many other forms of hominid who were living alongside them. But gradually, these other forms became extinct, and only the genus Homo survived to evolve into the first true humans, classified generically and probably inaccurately as Homo erectus, the humans whom we'll describe in Lecture 4.